It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday the 12th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, the Brookings Institution put out two reports on a kind of online abuse that authors say is growing at a disturbing rate. It's being called sextortion. The way it usually works, a hacker or abuser tricks a person into sending nude photos or video of themselves, or steals private content, maybe even taking control of a webcam while a person is changing at home. Then the abuser threatens to make the photos or video public unless the person sends more. Benjamin Wittes works at Brookings and was the lead author on both reports. Benjamin, there are issues here with enforcement because of minors and definition of the crime.
Right. At the federal level, child pornography laws are extremely robust. But if you victimize an adult using sextortion, it's not really clear what sex crime you may have violated. Some of these cases get prosecuted as extortions, computer fraud and abuse, hacking cases, and some of them get prosecuted as identity thefts or stalkings. And these are crimes that have dramatically lower sentences associated with them than child pornography.
Who's responsible for fixing the problem?
The central recommendation is I think we need a federal statute banning sextortion. It's a new kind of crime, and legislators need to step up and take a look at it. I also think there's a real problem on the data front. We know how many murders there are in the United States every year. I have no idea how many sextortions happen every year. The FBI and the Justice Department need to sort of modernize the list of crimes that they're keeping an eye on.
Talk to me about the camera cover part of this recommendation. How is that going to be possible in a world where we've all got a camera sitting in our phone, we've got a camera on our laptop, et cetera, et cetera? That seems like kind of tough.
So, look, I don't think it should be. The idea that you can't shut them off with a hardware switch seems to me to be reckless and dangerous on the part of the hardware manufacturers. Hardware manufacturers design these systems to be software driven. And I think that's something that we should ask why they're doing that. We have those switches for the ringer of the phone. Why not for the camera of the phone?
Benjamin Wittes is senior fellow in governance studies at Brookings. He's also the lead author of these two studies on sextortion. Benjamin, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Ben Johnson here. Thanks for listening to Marketplace Tech. We give you context on business and technology in your life. Some context on us. We are a nonprofit service and we rely on donations, call it old school crowdfunding. Your gift in any amount will automatically be doubled this month thanks to the generosity of Newman's Own Foundation. We've also made some awesome Let's Do the Numbers Pilsner glasses as a thank you to donators. You can donate today at marketplace.org. One of the secrets of success behind HBO's tech industry skewering show Silicon Valley is its accuracy. There's a scene from season one where Bertram Guilfoyle, a network engineer, has to re-interview for the job he's already doing at Pied Piper as the startup tries to go legit.
I monitor for DDoS attacks, emergency database rollbacks, and faulty transaction handlings. The internet, heard of it, transfers half a petabyte of data every minute. Do you have any idea how that happens?
The actor playing Guilfoyle there is Martin Starr. Starr might be better known for his love of Los Angeles food or his work on the show Freaks and Geeks than his tech savvy. But we called the actor up to talk Silicon Valley, now in its third season. Hi, Martin. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So whenever I'm having a bad day, I go back to that scene from the show in season one. Can you talk a little bit about how you prepared for this role or how you continue to prepare for it?
Maybe we should first talk about your strange sense of happiness and well-being that comes from that moment.
I just like your righteous anger. It just, I don't know, for some reason it resonates with me. I'm not sure why.
My righteous indignation. I will not audition for you people. I have already auditioned.
Did you have to learn a lot about the tech world? I mean, like, do you really endeavor to understand your work as a network engineer or your character's work as a network engineer?
No, I feel like an 80-year-old man who just found a cell phone for the first time sometimes. So I'm not going to crack the code on technology. It's not going to happen for me in this lifetime. Most of technology seems to push us away from each other. And so I'm trying myself just to remain more connected to the human beings in my life in a tangible way.
Over time, have you developed any affinity for the tech world?
I mean, I've met some interesting people. Not to brag, but I met Craig. Perhaps you've read his list. I thought he was really nice. I think more than anything, I've learned how connected I am to people who are in tech. It just seems like everywhere I turn, somebody that I'm related to or friends with is really close with or already deeply embedded in the tech world. Like, they understand what I'm going through, how accurately, you know, it's written, and we attempt to portray it.
Obviously, you have range, but there are some things about your personality that seem almost to carry over between roles. Do you feel like that's true, or is that just your style?
I mean, you always have to put a little bit of yourself into them, you know, into each character. What I think I took from the classes when I was a child was honesty in performance that I think translates onto a screen.
You seem like you have an interesting relationship with food.
Do I? I love food.
Have you ever tried Soylent?
Oh, God. I have two bottles on top of my fridge.
Do you?
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. I heard it tastes like pancake batter, which sounds great, but I think it makes me want to open a bottle and make pancakes more than anything. Have you tried it? Do you want me to send you one?
I would appreciate that, actually. I haven't tried it.
It's super weird seeing billboards up. Like, it feels like I'm in the future now, seeing billboards up that say, juice is sweet, Soylent is complete. To think that, like, I'm just, for the rest of my life, going to drink from a bottle. Yeah.
Martin Starr, he plays the role of Bertram Guilfoyle on Silicon Valley. Martin, thanks for talking to me, and send me that bottle if
you got it. I'll send it to your P.O. box. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
And Instagram unveiled a big redesign this week. Logo's different, pink and purpley now. The user interface, on the other hand, is more black and white. The content, well, that is up to you, 400 million users. You can check out our Instagram game at Marketplace APM. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.